Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. It's Watt Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. I had one recorded yesterday to recap. In fact, I was in the middle of recording and I was almost done with it. And as I was making my left turn, and the thing is, when I drive, the phone gets put down, and I drive. I talk. Well, as I was getting to make my left turn, and the way the intersection goes where I'm at is, once that green arrow goes away, you have to yield to traffic. Well, for me, the green arrow went away. And I had to yield. But the person behind me, I guess, just didn't understand it or just didn't get it. Kept honking their horn at me. So after about 3 or 4 honks, up came the middle finger. And they stopped honking. I made my turn. So did they. And of course, they started driving really, 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 really slow. And you know, I went to Twitter and vented about it, and was pretty profaned. And I ended up deleting the tweets. Because nobody really needs to read that anyway. I mean, it felt good to vent about it. But nobody needs to read that stuff on their timeline. Which I guess you can say, at 38, I'm starting to really grow up. I mean, you know, I have kids, but you know, kids helps out a little bit. I mean, you can still have kids and be an immature jerk. Heck, you can still take care of your kids. Bathe them, feed them, whatever, and still be immature. It's all about your personality, pretty much, and, well, how you handle things and... But yeah, I probably handle that bad. I mean, because with road rage, it's never worth it because you don't know who's on the other end that you're giving your rage to or you're honking at or giving the finger to. You just don't know with how people's mental makeups are. So yeah, it felt good to do, but I probably won't do it again. I'll probably just ignore them. But my day was good until then, and of course my podcast was screwed up. So let's get back to the actual topic at hand, which is Pitt, which is what you guys, which by 30 or 40 of you that listen to this thing, you are interested in. And I appreciate it too. Definitely. I'm surprised anybody listens to this. But Pitt came out with a win on Saturday. You know, it was expected. I mean, yeah, the way things were going, you didn't know how it was going to transpire. But Rice isn't really that good of a team. They're actually a really bad team right now. And even for Conference USA standards, they're just bad. Max Brown had an impressive day, over 400 yards, four touchdown passes. And he had to pretty much put the team on his back on offense because the running game just couldn't get it going. But if I had to guess, Rice was going to challenge him to beat them because our passing game, for the most part, sucks. The defense had an impressive day. They gave up only 10 points. And, you know, they had two bad games. I mean, Oklahoma State and Georgia Tech. But the problem with those games were they couldn't get off the field, for one thing. And second of all, they weren't getting any help from the offense at all. When you're off, you know, when your offense isn't moving the football and giving you a chance to rest, it's going to be a long day. And Pitt doesn't exactly have a deep roster to withstand all that. I mean, they got players, sure, but it's still on a level of, you know, Bama, some of the other schools. I mean, we got guys who can play. The guys behind them still need to develop. But it was nice to see DeMar Hamlin with an interception. You know, get his feet wet even more. You know, he's slowly progressing, and pretty much with him, you got to give him some time. I mean, I know he had a lot of hype out of high school, and he was injured all last year, and he needs time to heal. Click, 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 click. But look at some other things. Jester Wade, 5 catches, over 130 yards. Hopefully, with Max Brown, he's come out of his shell a bit, and he's got whatever it is out of his head. Same thing with the offensive coordinator, Sean Watson. You hope that he finally found something that works with his offense. You know, in terms of your personnel, your quarterback, who's not very mobile. I mean, we got receivers. We got guys who are talented. I mean, at times they've let us down. It's just the offensive line's been a real disappointment. You know, when you return most of your starters, you expect a better, better end result, but it just hasn't been. But if you look at me, if you look at the big picture of this team, running back, we got a good stable of backs. We just need somebody to actually step up and take control. Somebody we can give the rock to and just hand the ball off to them, and they're going to take it and do whatever with it. We need that type of back. We just haven't found them yet. I was hoping for Quadri Olson, but he just hasn't broken out yet. You know, receiver-wise, I mean, Jester Wee is going to be obviously our main guy because he's the leader. But we got, talented staple of receivers as well, and it'd be nice to see one of those guys step up and set the tone, not for this year, but just for next year when Jester graduates. So, I mean, offensively, I mean, if you look at our service, we're not too bad. I mean, we just need better offensive line play. Hopefully that gets figured out. And of course, better quarterback play, which I hope we've exorcised the demons playing Rice. That's all I can really hope for. But as far as the rest of the game goes with Rice, I mean, not a whole lot really stood out to me. I mean, they're just a bad team. But Pitt came out and took care of business for once. Whereas, you know, when you had Youngstown State, that game went to overtime. This time around, Pitt went in and kicked ass. Although, when it looked like they were up 20-0, it looked like they were going to, you know, Rice scored 10 unanswered points. You thought, oh, here we go. But no, Pitt woke the F up and put them out of their misery. And pretty much, as you know, Pitt hits the W column for the first time since Youngstown State, because they went 3 weeks without a win. And the best part about the Pitt win is the Pitt live wire. Yes, every Pitt win, we get that live wire from on YouTube, where it has all the awesome stuff. The music, the freaking pregame, players saying stuff, the coach's speech, you know. And, of course, the plays, Bill Hillgrove in the background, giving the plays. And then, of course, after they make the play, you got the player on the sideline talking about, you know, this, and this. At the end, they all celebrate, and we're all happy. The end. I like to see a Pitt live wire, though, after a loss. I don't know, just to see how the team, you know, is after a loss. Especially the Penn State game. I would love to have seen that live wire, despite the fact we lost that game. I definitely want to see it during Oklahoma State. Ugh. But then again, maybe we could have seen it, because, you know, maybe we could have been entertained by all the profanity. But moving on, we got Syracuse coming up, and Syracuse obviously isn't great, but at the same time, last year we needed 76 points just so we could only beat them by 7 points. So, and, you know, initially, they played LSU pretty close, and of course, that couldn't be fool's gold because LSU sucks for the most part. They're not good. They're horrible. And of course, Matt Canada, you know, with the, you know, leaving for more money. And I know we're going to get to this topic as well, but might as well. Do I think Matt Canada regrets taking the job? I mean, no. You know what? He had a really good season. You know, Matt Canada had a really good season last year. His offense put up a bunch of points and yards. So, of course, like, you know, in today's world, business-wise, you're going to cash in on what you're doing. You know, if you're picking up all these, I mean, it's like, you know, in your personal life, you're picking up all these skills at your job. They're underpaying you. You can go put yourself on the market and get more money. And Pitt did offer more money. It's just that it wasn't enough. what LSU was giving him. So he had to cash in. I mean, you got to do that. I mean, plus LSU, I mean, is a better, you know, on the surface, is a better job than Pitt. Because, you know, LSU is obviously a quote-unquote big-time program. You know, it's an SEC. I mean, they're, you know. And plus, recruits go there. I mean, they flock to that school. I mean, they get some really good recruiting classes. And I thought, you know, the transition for him wouldn't be too bad because I figure with all the talent that they have on that team, he would be able to utilize it. You know, he'd have a lot more toys to play with. Not so much. You know, it hasn't worked out. Which kind of tells you how really good that Pitt offense was last year. Indeed. back to Syracuse. You know, obviously the stats aren't from him because I haven't looked at what Syracuse has done. I know they're not, they don't have a winning record, obviously. And they're probably in the same boat as we are, but at the same time, they dropped over 60 points on us last year. So I kind of hope we don't have that same type of repeat. Because it's going to be a long day for us, because we have a hard time scoring as it is. And it would suck to lose to Syracuse, because we pretty much owned Syracuse in the last decade or so. Up until Walt Harris came, Pitt always had a hard time with Syracuse. Even during Walt's early years, he did. We could never beat them, no matter how bad they were. I mean, they had some really good teams in the McNabb years. They were really good then. Then the Troy Nunes era. Came upon us, and we lost some close games with them. There was the Troy Nunes pass, you know, where he became the absolute magician. You know, we had him. He just found, you know, we thought we could tackle him, but he just got away and made a big throw. But that 2000, things started to break for Pitt against Syracuse when the 2002 season began. And Pitt went to the Dome and destroyed them. They beat Syracuse 48-24. And I remember watching that game, and they just destroyed Syracuse. I mean, Rod Rutherford was dropping bombs. In fact, actually, believe it or not, it was actually 48-10. And then Pitt started putting their scrubs in. The guy who was playing for Syracuse at the time, the quarterback, was R.J. Anderson. And for some reason, Pasqualoni had an obsession with him. And he benched Nunes for him. And I think, yeah, Syracuse won 10 games with him the year before. But they were struggling in 2002 with him. But, yeah, Pitt went to that Dome that day, and they took care of business, and that was that. And the rest was history after that. You know, Pitt, from then on, was beating the snot out of them. Although in 2004, Pitt lost to him in overtime, which was unfortunate. And, of course, the other time Pitt has lost to him was, you know, the first year in the Paul Chryst era, which was a close game. But other than that, Pitt's pretty much destroyed him. And you could attribute that to when Pasqualoni left. You know, he was fired, and Greg Robinson took over, and then Syracuse was just dreadfully bad. And they've pretty much been dreadfully, dreadfully bad ever since, although they had a little, you know, resurgence with Maroney, and then he took an NFL job. But you figured Schaefer was going to pick up where he left off, and that didn't happen. But as far as that game goes, I'll probably do another podcast on talking about it a little bit more, because I don't have all the notes in front of me. But theoretically speaking, we're just going to need to, obviously, have a good game with the offense and defense. Obviously, the offense has got to score points and put up the, you know, close to the same effort they did with Rice, although Syracuse isn't Rice. of course, defensively, we got to actually stop people now because our offense can't, you know, put up 40-some points a game. All right, let's move along to the weekend that was college football. Obviously, Friday night kicked off with a Pac-12 After Dark. And Mike Leach, who I love to have, you know, had a, you know, pit, knocks off USC by 3. And, you know, I wanted Mike Leach at Pitt because I thought it would be entertaining to have him. But people thought otherwise. You know, kudos to Wazoo for being so patient, letting him build his program, which is probably what we need to do with Pat Narduzzi. Let him build, because it's going to take some time to do it. Not to mention having a coach here longer than 3 years, because, you know, Paul Chris was there for 3, and that was the longest since Dave Wannstedt, you know, who we departed with. So, it's best to let Pat, you know, build, and let's see what happens, because I know we're all breathing heavily because of how this season has started off, and who knows, year 4 could be a lot better. You know, only time will tell. But you know, Sam Darnold obviously had a, you know, bad game, and he probably played himself out of the Heisman race. And you know, he was good down the stretch the year before. It's just he had a really good Rose Bowl game, and where he was on fire, and he may have let that get to his head, and it's probably in his head, and he's not used to all that fame. So that didn't work, you know, so it hasn't worked out for him. You know, Penn State rolled over Indiana, and Indiana sucks. Indiana's probably worse than Rice. I mean, one thing I can hand to Indiana is at least their fans don't pound their chest about playing in the Big Ten. They don't pound their chest and say how awesome they are because they're in the Big Ten. They know that they suck and realize it. Whereas you got West Virginia who pounds their chest about being in the Big 12. And, of course, when we lose the Big 12 team, they're bragging about how awesome the conference is. And, of course, they're getting reamed. Although they did win 10 games last year, but we lost to Oregon. We lost to Oklahoma State by a touchdown last year, and of course they lose by over 20 points to them. But whatever, that's not my business. But look at the ACC. Obviously, Clemson is a big, you know, Clemson's a huge surprise to me because I thought they would have a drop off, and they haven't yet. They've, you know, they're back in the driver's seat. People thought that it was going to be Florida State taking the ACC, and they they lost to Bama and lost their starting quarterback, so they pretty much have fallen, you know, by the wayside, which is unfortunate. I thought Louisville as well. But Clemson exposed them pretty much. And the, you know, there were some issues with Lamar Jackson being left off some preseason, you know, watch lists and stuff like that. And of course, you had certain writers complain about it. Certain people complain about it. That there was, you know, there was obviously a race factor with it. And, of course, what some people point out is that down the stretch last year, for one thing, he won the Heisman, but down the stretch, he didn't play all that good, and it was against better competition as well. But for me, I can really care less about preseason watch lists and preseason All-Americans. Because the thing is they're just preseason. That's it. You know, you have to show your worth when you get out there and actually play the games. You know, they're not going to give you a trophy for being a preseason All-American. Maybe they do, but I would hope they don't. That would be absolutely stupid. So, I don't know why people's pain is getting ruffled over this preseason stuff. But, you know, last year's Heisman race, I thought, obviously, Deshaun Watson should have won it, but the Heisman never gets it right. You know, sometimes they do, but a lot of times they don't. Another reason for that is we got Jason White as a Heisman Trophy winner over Larry Fitzgerald, which is the biggest bunch of crap ever. Especially when you got your local riders voting for Jason White as well. And you know what? They were only doing it, especially like Smyzik, only doing that stuff because of Mark Madden. Mark Madden was doing all this crap for ratings at the time. Stirring the pot. And of course, obviously, Bob and a bunch of other writers started doing it as well, stirring the pot. Because that's just how they are. And then naturally, Bob and Mark started feuding after that, not too long after that. But yeah, they picked all that crap from them. And then I guess Bob tried to rationalize it about how important the quarterback position is. And, you know, with Jason White had all kind of talent around him at the time. He wasn't good. But whatever. But, Georgia Tech obviously is looking good. They could give, you know, they're always going to give teams fits. They might even win the Coastal Division. They may go, you know, because they've done that before. They have a good chance of doing it because they have a decent team. I love watching Paul Johnson's offense, except for when it's against us. Miami, it's hard to say. People have been saying Miami is going to turn the corner for years now. They haven't done it. Not sure they'll do it this year either. But you never know. They beat up on Duke, and I don't know, Duke isn't really the program. I mean, what they once were. I mean, they'll make bowl games, but they're not going to give the teams the kind of fits they used to. You know, and Tech obviously, you know, got hammered by Clemson as well. And so really, I mean, the Coastal's still wide open. Pitt's mathematically still in it, but I doubt we'll see, you know, anything happen for that. You know, that's probably going to come down to the Coastal's going to come down to Tech, Georgia Tech, and Miami, most likely. That's what you'll have there. And pretty much the Atlantic Division, it's Clemson's to lose at this point. But hey, it works for us in the ACC, doesn't it? We can get ourselves hopefully get a playoff representative. Because we all know if ACC does not provide a representative to the college football playoff, we'll have to hear the endless commentary rants from analysts about how the ACC is a bad conference. Never mind, we've won two national championships the last, 4 or 5 years. You know, we've been in the college football playoff every year as well. Yeah. Jerks. But anyways, I'll be back probably tomorrow or Friday with a you know, more on Syracuse and whatever's going on in college football. Hail to Pitt.